Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two underway. We switch it over to the NFL. Let's have some fun. If you want to get involved, you got plays out there, hot takes for this weekend. 844-843-6879. Now, having said that, real quick on this, Kevin. Came across my timeline here. It doesn't necessarily go directly to the Yankees, but I just want to read this to you. This is from the Atlanta Braves, right? Nowhere near a media. I mean, big market, to say the least, but nowhere near as big as New York. You hear where it's like, okay, last year, I don't know if we can go, $190 million on Aaron Judge for 10 years or whatever it is, or whatever we want to offer you. Yeah. Here's the Atlanta Braves financials that were released. In quarter, let's just say, okay, Liberty Media announced the Braves earned $238 million during the third quarter alone in 2022. Add in the $247 million in quarter number one, $11 million in quarter number two, and $11 million in quarter number one. The Braves earned $500 million in revenue in 2022. So, if you break it down, right, the Braves don't even have a monster payroll. Let's just say it's $150 million. Mm-hmm. Look at the profit there. And the reason I bring it up this year, the Yankees' payroll is more than the Braves. I get it. But if I'm not looking at the Yankees, I'm pretty sure, assuming their income maybe be double than the Atlanta Braves. And if you see, you know where I'm going on this. Mm-hmm. Let's just say your payroll for the Yanks is, I don't know, $225 million. You made $900 million, right, in profit or gross. Come on now, Yanks. Like, yeah. Is this one of those we can't, hey, you know what, just not competitive enough to sign this guy?
Yeah, here's the thing, and I think that this Yankees organization has been a bit of a disgrace recently. I think they have, although this is a drastic term, but you kind of get where I'm coming from, I think they've brainwashed a lot of the fans. You know, every time I say, because I had a debate once about it. I'm like, I don't understand why Bryce Harper and Manny Machado aren't on the Yankees. Now, I started to hear they're not winning players, which was obviously some nonsense, okay? And then it should, what do you want this payroll to be? I want it to be the most expensive in baseball. Because that was the Yankees' identity, right? Like,
yes.
That's who they were. That's the evil empire. That's what made them cool to be on the other side on. That's why people like Donnie hate the Yankees, or you out there listening hate the Yankees because of all that. So now, instead, we live in a world where Donnie still hates the Yankees, understandably. You still hate the Yankees, I get it. But I don't even get the benefit as a Yankee fan being like, yeah, but you should hate us. What do you even hate us for? I mean, Josh Donaldson is our cleanup hitter. What's the hate? we're a clown show right now. And I'll add this. As Brian Cashman today is going viral for telling everyone, I think Aaron Boone did a great job. And everybody has now decided, man, this is ridiculous. I can't believe Aaron Boone's still there. Look, I think Aaron Boone might have lost the locker room a little bit. And you know my thoughts on that. Use the locker room, probably time to go. But I don't even know if Brian Cashman's wrong. He probably did do a good job thanks to the roster that Brian Cashman gave him. So what are we doing? And I'll be honest with you. And I know this will sound crazy, and you can call my fandom into question, and I understand it. But I am so bothered by this organization on a consistent basis that there's a little piece of me that's actually ready for Aaron Judge to go. Not because I want to see him leave, Big 9-9, unlike Paul O'Neill, is actually going to deserve to be sitting in Monument Park and have the number retired, okay? Aaron Judge just put forward one of the five best seasons that a Yankee has ever had. But, this is where they have kind of put this fan base, if you're honest, where you're sat there like, yeah, maybe they won't re-sign Aaron Judge. And I only am interested in that idea, see how all these people that have been defending it are going to react. Because it's been embarrassing for years.
The one thing I always used to get a kick out of is like, and for maybe a good 15-year stretch, a free agent that came on the market, as you as a fan, forget about the Yankees. You said the Yankees are going to get him. And they did. I will never forget. And this is still when George was on his last legs, but still there. CC Sabathia got traded to the Milwaukee Brewers and was absolutely incredible. He's the best pitcher in baseball. Rubber arm, I'll pitch every day if you want me to. In the offseason, you know, the day where they get eliminated, I think the Phillies eliminated, whoever eliminated the Milwaukee Brewers in the playoffs. I think it was the Phillies that year, went on to win the World Series. But the best part was is the negotiations began, and the Brewers said, hey, we're going to be a player in this. We're going to offer them like $90 million. And they actually like, how about $160? And they're like, wait a second. Like, just not, like, we didn't even get a chance to go back and forth. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to offer you $300,000 for your house. Some guy comes in with $1 million. Like, whoa. Like, what just happened here? That was the Yankees. Like, we don't even want to go back and forth. Come here. Yeah. We're basically going to double what you were just offered from the Brewers.
And again, like, the idea, and Mets fans should do this. Mets fans go, man, he's going to look good in pinstripes, just the other pinstripes. Because they now come off right like the bullies on the block with the big dollars. And look, we'll see, man. But here's what's going to happen, too. Judge's going to sign to be a San Francisco Giant. The Yanks fans go, man, that's a lot of money. Glad we didn't sign him. He wasn't going to hold up anyway. Oh, okay.
Exactly. Oh, he only hit 48 home runs out in San Francisco. Bargain for the Yanks. My goodness. Let's talk NFL. We'll do it next right here on Moneyline on a Friday afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL topics, let's get after it here. Some news coming down the wire here. Big Red, Andy Reid, says they expect wide receiver Kadarius Toney to play on Sunday night versus the Titans. The Falcons ruled out A.J. Terrell at cornerback and will make a call on Cordarrelle Patterson on Saturday, which is interesting. I wanted to bring that up because who knows how Atlanta's winning? Who even knows how Atlanta actually has the lead in the NFC South? But they do. But Cordarrelle Patterson was a big part of that offense, disappeared, and they still kept running the rock well. Arthur Smith, man, getting a little Brian Daboll love for me, to be honest. I don't know what's going on down there, but they're actually having a competitive year.
Yeah, they're, I think, one win away from their win total for the season.
Yep.
You know, this is a Falcons team that's been great at home. They're 3-1 in their home games this year. They have even, and I think it's games like the Rams game and the Bucs game where they were getting absolutely smashed and came back and put a little fear in their opponent. And those, and I know it sounds a little corny, I know, but those were the building blocks for this football team. Those were the things that put them in this position, I tend to believe here, to, you know, think that, hey, we can be competitive with the best in this league. And here they are. You know, the other thing, too, is I look at the Falcons, there's, I'm sure, many as, yeah, they're not that good, but, you know, someone's got to win the NFC South. But to be fair to them, you know, 4-4, if you look around, how many teams in the NFC are better than 4-4? Not many.
Yeah.
It's the three in the NFC East, the Vikings and the Seahawks. It's the same record as the Niners, who they beat. And I know the Niners were banged up as all get out going into the game. My point, though, is the Falcons are not 2-6, but somehow in first place. You know, it's a 500 football team right now.
Yeah. By the way, also, talking about injury concerns, Mark Andrews, star tight end there for the Baltimore Ravens, did not practice today. Now, typically, you'd say, oh, no, Friday practice he missed, he can't play. Well, they play Monday night. So tomorrow, in effect, is their Friday slash Saturday practice that you're going to know. The reason I bring that up is I look at that team, minus 2.5-point favorites on Monday Night Football. Forget about the game itself. I don't know if this was just a mishap from the front office, for the GM, for between the doctors. If Rashad Bateman, you know that's a serious injury around the deadline. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put it out there to other teams. Like, oh, no, we just lost him. We're hunting for a wideout. Oh, you are. Oh, that 3 just went to a 2. That 2 just went to a 1. You know what I mean? Sort of hold you hostage. You keep it on the down low. You go out and get yourself another wide receiver. You know Andrews is already beat up. I don't understand what they're doing with Lamar Jackson, because I think we're both on the same page, because I do nothing but praise the Philadelphia Eagles. Not because I like them, because I said this is a big season for you, Jalen Hurts. We're going to give you every tool to really evaluate what you're about. Dominating on the field, candidate to be an MVP, the Eagles are unbeaten. Fast forward to Miami, and this includes a disastrous head injury for Tua Tagovailoa. But before the season, they said, you know what? Big evaluation year. We think you're going to be a good quarterback. Let's load you up and really see what you're about. When he's healthy, the Dolphins are moving the football. And I just look at Lamar Jackson, almost in that same range, Kevin, as Aaron Rodgers, where it's like, you're good enough to do whatever with whoever you have. Why would you do that? Like, honestly, like, why would you do it? Like, why isn't A.J. Brown on the Baltimore Ravens? I don't get it.
I completely agree, and it's why, while I'm a Lamar guy, right, I think Baltimore probably deserves a better record than the one they currently have. I don't buy the Ravens' big picture. I think Cincinnati's going to go on a deeper run than the Baltimore Ravens.
This year, and just like you're talking 5 years.
This year. Well, listen. You already know what I think. I don't know if he's a Raven next year. I don't know if he's a Raven next year. And this is all part of it. Donnie, if Rashad Bateman was as healthy as could be, mm-hmm. and so was Mark Andrews, they still should have been on the phone trying to add wide receiver talent to that roster. We cannot possibly compare. Like, look at what the Dolphins have and look at what the Ravens have. Look at what Cincinnati has. Why am I?
Yes.
T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Hayden Hurst, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. Spent a bunch of resources on offensive line, whether it works or not, over the summer. And Baltimore, Mark Andrews, by the way, was drafted after Hayden Hurst, who's on Cincinnati now. Looks like a legitimate player, but still. Like, it's not like they poured major resources into Mark Andrews. Just happened to hit on the pick, all right?
But is this a case where they just are missing out, though, K-Dub? Because you can argue, like, well, Hollywood, you know, Hollywood Brown was there. But why did you trade him away? Oh, right. Drafted Rashad Bateman. I understand he's injured. That's really not fair to try to evaluate. But just because you do that doesn't mean you just, hey, well, we traded Marquise Brown and we didn't expect this to happen. You should be able to go out and legitimately surround him with weapons. Like, what was even the... Now, are we saying that we couldn't afford Marquise Brown because we're going to have to pay Lamar Jackson so... Like, what was even the point of that?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Also, even if you like Rashad Bateman, right? There's no like, oh, Rashad Bateman's one of the 10 best receivers in football.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we've not seen Rashad Bateman hit that level, but let's go beyond that. You send out Hollywood Brown, you got Mark, okay, whatever, fine, right? The Philadelphia Eagles traded a first-round pick for A.J. Brown and mm-hmm. said that they were going to pay him. Am I to be under the impression that if the Baltimore Ravens didn't offer up a first-round pick, who, by the way, drafted in front of the Philadelphia Eagles, their initial pick, okay, but the Eagles jumped them to steal Jordan Davis, but the Ravens had a higher draft choice to offer up. You mean to tell me that A.J. Brown would have declined the move?
No way.
If Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill were traded this offseason as well, where were the Baltimore Ravens? All they do is just trade for defensive pieces, and I know their talents. I know Roquan Smith is incredible. I gotcha. I know they drafted Kyle Hamilton this year out of Notre Dame, and he's looked fantastic in the games he's been available for. They are not giving Lamar Jackson any reasonable help. It's ridiculous. Look around this league at these quarterbacks. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is an unbelievable 1-2 punch. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill every year for Pat Mahomes is unreal, right? I mean, they go out and they get a Stephon Diggs, and it turns Josh Allen's career around. And they go, Lamar, man, you Mark Andrews, eye to eye. I mean, Devin Duvernay could be a big piece this year. James Prochet. Let's get excited.
Yeah, because you like those down-the-line picks like they have, but it just seems to me like, hey, man, we got a quarterback that was an MVP. We could really, and I'm not talking about this whole, oh, we can't go all in, Kevin, to give up a first-round pick because that's going to devastate the next 5 years. Stop the madness. I think the Eagles are worried about the next 5 years. Look at their draft picks and the way they set up. Yeah, you know what, A.J. Brown, you're worth a one, and we're going to pay, and look what he's doing for them here. So there's a lot to be decided in Baltimore. I just don't think it plays out right. And again, if you're the Buffalo Bills or Kansas City Chiefs, you're looking at Baltimore going, could. Imagine that team with a dominant wide receiver to go along with that ground game.
Absolutely so. How they look around this league and think we're in a good position. Imagine they traded for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been, it's like, okay, so now Lamar, if he's in trouble, dump down. You're never going to be able to stop this rushing attack. And don't tell me, but they spent a lot on J.K. Dobbins. He's not around. He's not healthy. You don't not trade for McCaffrey because of a J.K. Dobbins. They do not pour offenses into or resources into this offense.
Yeah, no, it's one to keep an eye on, but it should be interesting Monday night. Maybe Jarvis Landry will get back in the fold there for the New Orleans Saints. That game is listed at 47.5 as a total. Another interesting one, which we're going to set this up at the break and talk about it afterwards. It seems to me like the Rams are in a little bit of trouble. They basically told you Cam Akers doesn't want to play, doesn't hustle, doesn't care about anything. And now it looks like Sean McVay and the Rams are begging him to come back and play football to save their season. Wild times there for the Rams. Never thought they would be where they are, but here they are. We'll talk about the Rams coming up next after the break right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh. Sunday, 4:25. Massive game. At least we thought. Los Angeles Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That line, -3 towards Tom Brady and the Bucs. +130 moneyline price if you want to take the Rams over under. For two Hall of Fame, I guess Matthew Stafford's probably going to get in the Hall of Fame, I would say now. Well, obviously along with Tom Brady,
Super Bowl,
right?
Yeah.
I think so. He gets him.
Yardage and everything will be there.
42.5. And they're not like on one leg. They're as healthy as you probably would think because they're not really showing up on, oh, look at this. Matthew Stafford can't throw a pass all week because his elbow hurts and Tom Brady just sits out until Sunday's game because he's so old. 42.5. Now, I like to ask these questions to you because there's two ways that we can see this. 21-17, yep. Brady a little bit slow. Offense can't click. What did you want the Rams to do? Cooper Kupp's on one leg.
Yeah.
Or 21-17 at the half.
I totally agree. There's something about this game where I'm like, I could see this being explosive, right? Tom just comes out firing, figured it out. Van Jefferson hits a 75-yard touchdown pass, and it's like, wait, is that all they were missing, right?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that you can see going into this game. I mentioned it this morning. They played last year in the regular season. Total was 55. Game finished 38-24. And then they played, of course, in that playoff game. Total was 48. You know, you make your playoff adjustments on a total like that. And then the final score was 30-27. They'll flew over the total again. I think it's a spot where you could justify playing the over, but you have to know what you're getting yourself into, right? Of course, there's a world that these teams are nightmares. But I'll add this, and let me see if you agree here. Mm-hmm. I think you can get to this over with some bad offensive plays. Pick six. A Brady fumble because Aaron Donald got to him quickly, sets up a short field. I could see these offenses being bad in your final score still being 24-21.
Now, how about this? That touchdown market on the FanDuel Sportsbook always has. I don't know if I'm going to bet it heavily this weekend, but I think I found a nice little groove on just taking quarterback touchdown props themselves, which I'm going to hit that market pretty hard once FanDuel splashes them all up. And, of course, you know, Bet365, MGM, a lot of those already have them up. But I found this one for total first half touchdowns, Rams-Buccaneers, a flat 2. Both teams.
Wow. Pretty juicy.
A flat 2. It is juicy. It's minus 170, so it is a little bit expensive. But my goodness, like how far have we fallen where you're saying like, all right, Bucks get 7, Rams get 7. Ooh, I don't know about that. What?
Yeah, I absolutely see where you're coming from. I guess not that you need me to add the where does this go wrong, but
yeah,
for the Bucks, last week was the first time that they had scored a touchdown in the opening quarter.
Yeah,
again, it's just been bad for Tampa Bay, but I think when do we pull the plug on the Bucks season? Is it this game here? Is it next week in Germany against Seattle? Do you have to wait for the bye week? Like, when is it?
The shame of it is, I guess if you could call the question, like, let's just say the Saints were just a good football team. The plug would be pulled after this game if they lost.
Right.
But we still look at that division going, well, they probably have to be out, like, 4 games with 6 to go. And then I don't know if they can come back. But as long as they're, like, hanging around, you're still saying, well, it's Atlanta. Like, really? Like, no, like Atlanta's going to go, I don't know, 12-4? What? They're going to go rip off unbeaten down the stretch?
Right. But let me say this to you, okay? I had a moment this morning when we were talking about this game that surprised me as we were kind of going through the breakdown and everything that I didn't realize. Because if someone were to say, hey, why is Tampa still in it? As I often have done, right? Well, at the end of the day, it's them in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
The Saints have the same record as the Bucks. The Saints already beat the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints didn't sell at the deadline. The Saints can only get healthier. Mm-hmm. The Saints could probably only get better. They are plus 410 to win this division. The Saints have a very short line on a Monday night here against Baltimore. Winnable game no matter who you like in the game. The Saints, to me, I'll say it like this. If Tampa's live and if Atlanta's live, then the Saints have to be live too.
Feels that way. It does. By the way, in this game, K-Dub,
injury
information, right? Because I feel it really hinges on the Cooper Kupp. And if he's healthy, obviously that's a huge, huge move because you're just a little bit banged up in that Bucs secondary. But also, it looks like they're going to get back Van Jefferson in this game as well. Mm-hmm. Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Cam Akers looks like he's ready to play. Are we going to undersell the Rams? And I'm not talking about, well, I expect the Rams going to beat the Buccaneers on the road. But let's just say Cooper Kupp goes out Sunday morning and says, hey, man, I feel real good. Like, I'm not 100%, but I'm good enough to go out here and get 9 for a $110 and a touchdown today. Because when you start to look at, let's just say, their team total numbers, FanDuel Sportsbook here, 19.5 for the Rams with a full go offense. It's, even though it is, they're struggling, they're not playing that well. My goodness. 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals?
Yeah, I'll just say from my angle, I feel like that's classic right side.
Yeah.
That's a
buy low spot where they're going on like the season, like, oh, well, this is what their numbers are for the year. Yeah, but look at the players they have in this game. Yeah.
And what was the last team Tampa Bay held under 20?
Yeah.
If memory serves, right, I know last week got 27 for Baltimore, 21 Carolina, 20 Pittsburgh. If I'm not mistaken on that. Chiefs lit him up for a zillion.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Right? Did Pittsburgh get to 20 or no?
Was that game under 20 both ways? No, they had to have gotten to 20 if they won, right?
I think it was 20-18.
I don't think they were under that.
Score.
Yeah, let me flip this up. I'm gonna find this here. Steelers 20. Yes, they got 20 points in that game.
So
yeah.
Other than Atlanta, four of the last 5 opponents have scored 20 plus on this team?
Yeah. Exactly.
That's something to consider. I like that angle. I like that angle a lot. I think the Rams are very live in the football game.
Yeah, let me go to Bet365 here because use it with like team totals. Seems like for the majority, they have pretty good prices. They're actually a little bit higher, though, in the Miami Dolphins this week. Let me check this out. So we'll slide down.
How expensive could a 17 be from a 19.5?
Pretty expensive. They are expensive.
Yeah?
19.5 minus 115 at Bet365. And if we go over to... Let's see here. We'll go to Caesars, which you can slide these bars around to see what the actual numbers are. Let's see what we got here. Okay, football.
As you look that up, I'll just like 19.5 is obviously a key number for people.
It's a very key number.
Total.
Absolutely.
So it's big that you're not paying 20, 20 and a half.
And you're not paying a lot. All right, so we've got a away team here. They have 19 even at a minus 148. Their true number is 20.5 at plus 105. But if we slide that marker down, like see 17.5 is minus 163, and there's no reason to go to 17.5, right? So
no,
if you slide it down even more. Yeah, 16 is minus 264, which shows,
wow!
you the depth, yeah, shows you the depth of the 17 and what that means. Mm-hmm. Like those used to be the target ranges, like 16.5, 19.5, 23.5, you know, 26.5, which throws in, okay, you need four touchdowns, but it insulates like even for like an extra point or two that you might get missed. Those are those key numbers. But now that I look more and more at the Rams, just need to see that practice report today, because sometimes all it takes is, hey, Cam Akers look good. Yeah, we're going to use him. How did Cooper Kupp look? Hey, man, he's ready to go. Like, we're not even questioning him as a game time decision. Yeah, so I think that does make some sense here, where it's the buy low value of the computer will tell you they're only supposed to get 19.5 points, but the computer's not telling you the whole story. Like, what happens if I add two starters back into your lineup? It's like when you talk about the Green Bay Packers, you know, last year with their three wideouts out, or if you talk about, you know, early in the season where you had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a game against the Green Bay Packers, they sat their three wideouts, and then you look at the next game, like, wait a second. Like, they get three wideouts back. They're not going to be like, oh, no, no, the numbers tell you this is what they score. Like, enough. Like, no. You got to add players back into it.
Yeah, I really like it. I you've sold me. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
All right? You've definitely, you sold me a lot of interest on this end in that number.
Yeah. And by the way, also, if you're interested, like, you want to go out there, Kato, we see, like, the Commanders probably going to be up for sale here.
Yeah.
Big name putting it in. You want a little piece of that? Go out and buy yourself a Powerball ticket. 1.6 bill. Maybe you could be an investor. You know what I mean? You know what? I bought a piece of the Commander.
Did you? Well, did you get a piece of the Powerball? Are you in? Are you a Powerball guy?
I am when it gets big. And I remember telling my wife, like, hey, man, pick up a couple of tickets. Just never got around to it. Woke up the next day, saw nobody won. So I do think, is it tonight or tomorrow? Because I don't even know when the next one is. I want to say it's tomorrow. I'll be getting tickets. Yeah.
Followed, to be honest. I obviously look, it's a crazy amount. Like, because I, the other day, like at the office, like Vinny's like, hey, you're in $10 pool. We're all going to buy a bunch. And I was like, all right, sure. And then he's like, all right, so you're in? And I was just like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't know. Like,
tough scene. Here's the word. I know it is, but let's play it out. Like, somebody has to win, as we like to say. Meanwhile, I don't think anybody's won the damn thing in like 6 months, which is why it's $1.6 billion.
Correct.
So, but eventually somebody is going to win. I can't tell you a worse feeling in the world is that Vinny and the boys hit that Powerball. And you didn't get in, and everybody in the office got broke off, like, I don't know, $100 million apiece. And you're like, hey, I'm happy. I'm happy for you guys.
it's a good point.
Tough. Like, it's almost like you have to get in just because of the fact of the matter is, if something does go wrong, I'm talking even K-Dub, you get one of like you get all the numbers but the Powerball. Like, hey, that's $1 million. You split it 10 ways. Like, whoa, after tax, hey, that's like 60 G's in my pocket. I'm happy for you guys. Like, I'm an idiot, man. Like, what did that $10 actually cost me and of a lifetime of pain where everybody's rolling around? You're like, hey, K-Dub, enjoy your job, buddy.
Oh, man. Now I got to call Vinny. Tough scene.
Yeah. I feel like I put like the reverse, like, you know, the Malloy point, you know, like, you know what? Vinny's going to hit this thing, and it's going to be all my fault because I told you about it. Like, oh, should have just been forgotten. But
Vinny.
Boo! We'll be back next talking more NFL Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rolling through hour number two. Right here on the grid, it's Moneyline. Donnie and Kevin here in the afternoon. Phone line still out there live. 844-843-6879. AR30 from Virginia is calling the show on a Friday. Welcome in. What do we got today, AR30?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Hello, hello. Doing good.
K-Dub, I was just going to tell you on them Yanks, man, I completely agree with you. Old George is rolling in his grave, bud.
Yeah, it's a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to put it, man.
Yeah, you're right. But got a couple picks for you guys real quick.
Let's go.
Tomorrow, I like North Carolina to cover against Virginia. Of course, I'm a Virginia fan, but we're terrible. Brandon Armstrong forgot how to play quarterback.
He did, too.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that dude. I like Oklahoma State to bounce back and Clemson to cover, bud.
There you go. So a three-way there, college, UNC, OSU, and Clemson tomorrow. Any thoughts on NFL Sunday for you there, AR30? Did you get that far yet?
Yeah, I did. I like Arizona, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay to cover, man. I like for Brady and Rodgers to bounce back.
All right. So we got some plays for Saturday, some plays for Sunday. Ready to get after it. There you go. That's how you get down on a Friday. Good luck to those plays for you there, AR30. We'll cheer them on. I got them written down.
Yeah, y'all.
We'll see if these come into fruition.
Yeah, have a good one, man.
Love it. Love it. Love it on a Friday. Callers warming it up as we sort of wind it down. Big weekend this weekend, too. Still have the World Series, obviously big in Philly. No football here in Philadelphia, which is actually nice, just in case there is a Game 7. Now, Phillies fan or no Phillies fan, unless you're an Astros fan, don't you root for that? Hey, you know what? Game 7 on? It's football on all day. At night, I'll flip over, see what's going on in a Game 7. Love Game 7s. Hockey, if you're not a big hockey fan, love tuning into a Game 7. You kidding me? You got a 2-2 game in the third period of a Game 7? I don't care if you're a hockey fan or not. You're tuning in. NBA Game 7? You don't want to see what's going on? Come on now.
Yeah, and also, most people don't like the Astros. So,
it's true.
People will be rooting for that Game 7 for sure. We'll see if the Phils have already won a game in that building. I think they're a tough group to beat three times in a row. So, I absolutely think they have the juice to go out there and win it. I'll say, if they don't, I think that means it's probably an over-baseball game and Zach Wheeler got lit up.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of the angle that I might play on a Saturday night if you're playing it. But let me how close do you think viewership will be LSU-Alabama World Series Game 6?
I think World Series would still take that, though, right? Wouldn't that still be on Fox National?
It's on Fox versus what, ABC, I assume, I think? Or am I wrong on that? Is it ABC?
It's probably ESPN, isn't it? That's like an ESPN game.
I feel like usually they rip ABC.
Hold on, I'll find it. Let's see. So we'll go 7, ESPN, Alabama, LSU.
All right. So cable, yeah, Fox is regular. Significantly more. All right, what do you think does bigger, because since they're not head-to-head, Georgia-Tennessee World Series?
I'm going to go World Series because it's prime time, right? Like, CBS had Tennessee-Georgia head-to-head at night with the World Series, that would be interesting. It really would be, which is crazy to even think about. But I do still think baseball would outdraw it due to the World Series game. But that's as big a college football game as you'll get at that point. Now, maybe if you could say it's too regional, if that makes sense, because college football fans will still watch. But if this was one of those, you know, back in 2004, Reggie Bush and USC at Notre Dame on a Saturday night, those were the ones that drew, like, the entire nation in. West Coast, East Coast, Notre Dame fans, Notre Dame haters, you know, a team that always wins, Pete Carroll, superstars, like, stuff like that would really tangle. But I don't know if Tennessee-Georgia would be too regional to take down the World Series, though.
Yeah, I don't think it would be too regional, but I wonder which of the two then, because then you start to wonder, as you get later in tonight, the competition, right?
Yeah.
Because when you get to that time frame, well, there's probably going to be a game on ESPN. There might be a game on ABC. I'm just saying, like, the World Series will probably be going. Now, the World Series is still the World Series, to your point, but it's going to be going up against some stiffer competition there. And then, I mean, Sunday Night Football potentially head-to-head with the World Series is Sunday Night Football still, right? It's football? I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I don't know the numbers like that. But Sunday Night Football would outdraw a Game 7 World Series?
I think it might. I do.
That's crazy.
I do. It's the power of football, which it is kind of wild. But again, you're talking about Fox National, not like, oh, Fox Sports 1. You don't know where it's at. Like, you're flipping through those channels. And a lot of times you wait. And it is a sort of compelling series. And who knows, maybe it's a close game, you get that. But usually the NFL and those markets certainly are king. Other sporting events here on Sunday, obviously, it's the NFL that is taking center stage. There's not a whole lot of compelling overall games. I'm interested to see where some of these lines close. And the reason why I bring that up is Miami-Chicago, the fives, the five and a halfs were floating out there. We're not seeing fours at DraftKings, MGM, PointsBet, even down from the 4.5 that we were talking about on FanDuel this morning on the early line. Where does that line end up? And also, you know what caught me a little bit off guard, too? Because figuring like, hey, maybe a Miami team total's on the horizon if that wind stays down in Chicago. But even though you see last week, the Dolphins' final outputs on points, and I know some of those games were without Tua, they're not astronomical. Like you would think, like, oh, Dolphins scoring 30 a game every game. That's not the case.
I really like the Bears in this game. I think you probably might want to start even, you know, when do you start, you specifically, start considering Bears team totals? I think buying them off of a 20-point loss, I think returning home, two straight road games for Miami. But, like, is the Bears team total 20.5? Is it 19.5? What are they doing with that number here?
Yeah, it's got to be low. What is that? So let's see. We'll go totals.
That was a team that used to be like 16.5 regular.
Yeah, exactly. They're 20.5, which means you're aiming for three touchdowns, which, sure, they could get there. There's no doubt, because I do think that you're going to get a very good running mate with the Miami Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins are coming into ground-and-pound type attack at that point. But it's just a trust factor at this point, because even with the game, like, you know what you need to see? Man, Fields, 24-34, 320 and three scores. I feel like you're still getting those, like, 190s, really good. But that's, like, a team total, you're supposed to have either a ridiculously low number that goes, come on, they're still NFL players. They're going to be hovering around 14 points. Or you look at it and say, all right, if they're around 21, which means they need three touchdowns, is there a chance that we revert back to old, you know, Chicago Bear football, which means, like, 3 weeks ago where they stunk? Or is this, hey, the things are starting to slow down and open up for Justin Fields? And, oh, by the way, they're down 14-0 in the first quarter. Fantastic.
Yeah, I want to see what happens, like, if at any point during this back-end run here for the Bears where Justin Fields has a big passing performance, mm-hmm. where it looks like some version of Ohio State Fields. Justin Fields was not running for 100 yards a game in college football. He was just throwing the wide-open five stars that were down. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if we get back to that point at any point.
And also, the Tennessee-Kansas City game, which is the Sunday night football game, still waiting on word, which I don't know if it's one of those things where if you're Vrabel, you're like, you know what, I don't think my quarterback's going to start, which is Tannehill. I'm just not going to let them know yet, like a little bit of college okey-doke, per se.
Yeah.
But it feels like that number at 11.5 at FanDuel is not going to stay there if it's Malik.
Like, either direction.
But kind of, like, they're a solid football team, Tennessee. But you get so scared of last week, those, hey, yeah, they won. Hey, well, you take the points, man. They won last week. Didn't you see them? Yeah, mm-hmm. but they didn't, you know, did they really win that game because they had a quarterback, or they won spite of their quarterback?
They won regardless of their quarterback. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's really what it was. I like the Titans plus the points. Either way, it's just that if it's Malik Willis, it seems like you might be able to get two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Now, if it's Ryan Tannehill, it might go down to 9.5. But if you're getting double digits with Tannehill, I think it would be one of my favorite spread bets on the board here. I really think that they're in a great spot to cover, so we'll see. But you have to be – it's a tough game to play right now, right? I don't want 11.5 – with Malik Willis, when I think it could go to 14 kind of situation. It's a weird spot to be in.
Also, we're taking a look at that New England-Indianapolis game, which obviously the big news of the afternoon. Jonathan Taylor down for this one. We're starting to see a shift in this line as well. The 5.5s that were out there quickly turning into sixes at most outlets and a total of 40.5. Sam Ellinger goes on the road. All right, he doesn't have his big back. Oh, Naeem Hines, great out of the backfield. Yay. Did you wake up? He's gone. He's not there anymore. It just seems like this team is pared down. Like, what do you expect from Sam this weekend? And I know this is one of those games the FanDuel Sportsbook will have up, like, their odds, like, 30 minutes before the game, and that's it. Flash him and take him back down. I'm trying to take a look, like, maybe at a Bet365, if we are going to be getting. I doubt it. It just seems like they don't even know how to A, price the team, but any of the props now coming out for the Colts?
So there were Sam Ehlinger props on DK, so I'm pulling it up now. Now
yep, 204.5. 204.5 at Bet365.
Here's the number that you want, right? Like, he throws a pick this week, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, do they... Yeah, what... Oh, never mind. Minus...
Like, what about Mac Jones? Like, Mac Jones is 212.5. This is just feel like... Hey, is this another Bill Belichick special? Mac, come into my office. We're going to talk about the game plan. Yeah, Coach, what's up, man? I can't wait to get after the Colts. Just to let you know, you're not going to throw more than 7 times in this game. It feels like that. And yeah, instead of being like, hey, we'll beat the Colts regardless if you turn the football, let's work out some things. Hand it off to Ramondre. What's the next play, Coach? Hand it off to Ramondre. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like to me.
I hear you. I think at home they maybe let Mac open things up a little bit more. It wouldn't surprise me here against the Colts. I'm struggling to see the avenue to be backing Indianapolis. And you see this number now up to a 6. It's going to get to a point where it's a little far gone. You know, I'm not looking to lay 7 with Mac Jones. I don't think he's earned that right. But you can see why the movement is what it is.
And how about this one? You want to throw touchdowns? Sam Ehlinger, a half of a touchdown, minus 260, though. How about that? Can he get the 1? Is he going to be able to throw one in this bad boy? That?
Would you ever pay minus 260 for a Sam Ehlinger to throw a touchdown pass? Like, how could you have that confidence in him?
I don't know. I don't know. It just, I guess it's because it's so light that you can just fall into one. Like, even if you play the angle, like, oh, Sam Ehlinger stunk it in that game. Yeah, they were down 24-3 with 3 to go, and the backups were in for, you know, New England. But you started to work on things with Sam in the offense, so you kept your starters in. Like, that's right. Like a worst-case scenario, and you need one. It's like you need 2, right? Or even if that was, let's just say, Sam Ehlinger over 1, minus 140. Like, well, he needs 2 to cash. You need 1 to cash. It's pretty nuts.
Yeah, I know you don't mind laying juice, but I don't have the level of confidence in him to get involved with something like that.
Sound the extra bass right there. Talk again, man. Hey, let me hear you talk.
Whoa, right. What's wrong?
Hold on. Oh, man.
Did I fix it?
Oh, that was, you did fix it. I was kind of nice with the voice, like almost like you had one of those voice like things that
modifiers.
Synthesized it. Oh, it was nice. I was like, whoa. K-Dub coming in stereo at this point. But overall, there's a lot of games this weekend with a lot of intrigue, but also the 4-point spreads, the 3s, the 3.5s, the 2s. There's a lot out there to try to have some fun with and see if you can get from side to side. We're coming up on the final segment of the week on Moneyline coming up next. It's been a lot of fun, but we got a lot of business to get to. So make sure you stick around one more time before the rest of your Sports Grid day continues. It's Donnie and Kevin here in the afternoon, SiriusXM channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here of the week on Moneyline. A lot of information, a lot of fun to be had this weekend. So I want to end it on this note. Forget about just, you know, firing plays left and right. Saturday college football, de facto playoffs now, all the way through until we get to the conference championship games. So we know the stakes. Tennessee, Georgia, you know, let's just say, I guess Oklahoma State pretty much dusted at this point. Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Michigan. What is the possibility we get chaos this weekend? LSU upsets Bama. Notre Dame upsets Clemson. Rutgers somehow is fighting for their lives in the fourth quarter against Michigan, 34-31. Like at Georgia, Tennessee, right down the stretch, where maybe Tennessee does win that game. TCU gets knocked off by Texas Tech. Talk to me about this weekend.
Yeah, I absolutely think we could be in line for an insane week. First of all, the fact that one of the 3 best teams in the country, whether that's Tennessee or Georgia, is going to lose a game, automatically adds that shift. Alabama's got a massive game against LSU that looks like they are a legitimate team, as you said. But it's never those games, right? Is Clemson even good in a struggling spot against a Notre Dame? TCU feels like they have to lose somewhere, some way. And what about one of these Pac-12 teams?
dropping a game, dropping out, changing the state of the race. Arizona State upsets a UCLA, just kind of shifts the landscape a little bit more in terms of who can get in and who we are leaving on the floor saying your season is now over. I absolutely think you're spot on. And as we talked about a little earlier in the show, that Heisman odds board, no matter what, takes a hit after Saturday. Huge, huge ramifications with that Hendon Hooker performance in the balance.
And we're going to say goodbye to Major League Baseball this weekend and hello to college basketball next week. Sports continuing to hit it hard right here on the grid. Another Friday show. Had a lot of fun. Thanks to the callers out there. For Donnie, Christian, and Kevin, you know what? We're going to do this all again on Monday. Enjoy your weekend and good luck on all your wagers. See ya.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.